So a very non-familiar book of scripture. Look at Leviticus, amen. Somebody said, who? Leviticus, amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter number 6, and we'll see what the Lord has. We have brunch right now. What the Lord has for brunch today. And once you've gotten there, we'll all stand if you're able to, and we'll read one verse, we'll pray, and ask God for his help this morning. I thank him, as I said before, I'm like my pastor. I love it when the Lord shows up, but I really like it when he stays, amen? Amen. And so we pray that he continues to stay with us through the message. So let's look at Leviticus chapter number 6 and drop down to verse 13. The Bible says this, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The Bible says again, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I want to talk this morning, the simple thought, keeping the fire burning. Keeping the fire burning. Let's pray. Father, I pray God for your help this morning. I pray God to guide my weak mind and my thoughts and my heart, my speech and my actions. I pray God to help me to preach the life-changing word of God. I pray God to challenge us in certain areas, changes where change is needed. And God, whatever else needs to take place in our life, in our family, in our home, I pray God to do just that. I pray God to give us extra courage, extra strength for the journey. I pray God to build our faith muscles. I pray God to help us to shake off the things that try to shackle us and hold us and hinder us from being the people of God that you called us to be. I pray God that one who may be discouraged, distraught, dismantled, disturbed in their mind. But I pray God you come by with your dynamic power and give them great victory, and that God will thank you. And then God, that soul that might be among us or that might be watching by the internet, I pray God if they're lost, they'll receive Jesus as the Lord's Savior, yes sir, and King. For that God will thank you. Well, we'll stop right here, Father. If I've left anything out, I pray God can meet that need as well. For your son, then we pray, not we, Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Keeping the fire burning. All of us have the ability to keep the fire burning. Sometimes I go to a camp, it's called the Wilderness Camp in West Virginia, and a lot of times what they'll do is they'll show the boys and girls there how to start a fire. It's amazing how comical it gets because some of them get so frustrated, even though he's given instructions, he shows them exactly what to do, how to build it, and all this stuff, but they got to work together. And you know how that is, trying to work together, I mean, especially some young people, this is amazing. But once that fire gets started, then they got to keep that fire burning.
Yeah.
Especially when we would do the overnights and we would stay in tents and we'd have that fire burning in the middle, and that fire had to keep burning. But if not, if that fire went out, it was going to be a cold night that night. Amen. Well, you know what? This past Jubilee, many of us have had the fires stirred in our hearts. We had that fire to be rekindled on the inside. But then the question comes here. How do I keep the fire burning? How do I keep things going forward and not regressing and going backward? Well, I believe that we can see an example here in the scriptures on how we can also keep the fire burning. And we all have the ability to keep the fire burning. And I like what one person said. They made this statement. They said, are we fire igniters? Watch this now. Or fire extinguishers? Say it again, preacher. Are we fire igniters? Or are we fire extinguishers? There's some folks, you'll have fire burning, but then somebody may come by, and instead of helping you to keep that fire ignited, they'll come by with a fire extinguisher. And what they'll do, brothers and sisters, they'll come by, and then they'll do this. They'll be, and put that fire out.
Yep.
And
right.
You're still trying to keep it going. They'll be, well, you know so-and-so. Something's coming out. But nonetheless, though, amen. I went no good. But nonetheless, amen. But nonetheless, I mean, you don't want to be a person that's hindering somebody's fire from the Lord.
Yep.
A lot of times a person will get saved. And a lot of times the old saints of God will come by and say, you'll be all right. You know, you're going to be like the fool of Bible. That fire, it'll burn down a little bit. Wait a minute. That ain't going to help the fire keep going.
Nope.
No, encourage them. There's nothing like seeing a person that gets born again and gets excited for Jesus. Because a lot of times, it might ignite the fire inside of somebody else.
Yeah.
I never forget Brother Ed Moore said, back in 1997, the last sermon he preached at Sunrise, he made this statement. Not the last sermon he preached, but as a pastor, he preached and made this statement. He says, you know what? He says, babies beget life. Babies beget life. And when he said that, I didn't really understand what he meant. But then later I understood. And any person here that had a baby come in your home, life begins, amen. All of a sudden, there's somebody crying in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, there's somebody that needs your attention. All of a sudden, you can't sleep soundly at night, but you got to be having that ear ready to answer the call in the middle of the night. Well, by the same token, brothers and sisters, when a person is saved, born again, and redeemed, they need somebody to help feed them the Word of God. They have all kinds of questions and things of this nature, and all of a sudden, there's life again in the midst of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this. Are we fire igniters or are we fire extinguishers? Mm. The first thing I wanted to show us, number one, is how to extinguish. We'll do the bad first. How to extinguish the fire. How do you extinguish the fire? Well, hold the place here because it's coming back. But remember what the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 30. We'll let the Word do the work. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 30, the Bible says, and grieve not. What? Well, y'all got that yet. All right, with y'all get that. All right. It says, grieve not what? The Holy, The Holy Spirit of God. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That word grieve means to sadden or to cause grief. The Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Look that up. The Bible says, in verse number 26, the Bible says, be angry and what?
Sin not.
Some people get mixed up. This thing says this, be angry and sin. But there's a knot on the end of that thing, okay? So he says right here, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Watch this. Neither give place, don't give room, don't give a spot, don't give an opportunity to the devil. Let him that stole keep on stealing.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says, let him that stole steal no more, the Bible says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give. What? That's the right word, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
That he may have to give to him that needeth. As a preacher, I don't like that verse. I'm getting to give to myself. But the Bible says right here, when we give, we also should be helping those, key word, who need it.
Yeah.
How many folks have we helped that was in need? How many folks are we trying to encourage that was in need of encouragement? The Bible goes on to say this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of somebody else's mouth.
No.
Oh, sorry. I'm just misreading this thing this morning. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, the Bible says. And then it goes on to say, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that means building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. All these things, if we do them, they grieve the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But he don't stop there. Let all preacher, bitterness and wrath anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all what?
Malice.
Now that word clamor is an interesting word. That word clamor here means tumult or tumult, whatever you pronounce it, which means violent commotion. It's one thing to have a commotion. That's bad enough. But a violent commotion. These things grieve this Holy Spirit of God. The bitterness, the word bitterness, it means especially like poison. Poison doesn't build you. Poison saps from you.
Right.
And brothers and sisters, you and I, if we want to keep the fire of burning, let's not do this, because it will extinguish that fire that God started inside of us. And we've got bitterness, and we've got clamor, evil speaking, evil communication, being that proceeds from our mouth and out of our heart. It helps nobody.
Right.
But it does hinder. You know, really hinder us.
Yeah.
How about you? But I want my fire to keep burning. Amen. Amen. You know something? We ain't done yet. He said in verse 32, and be mean to one. Oh, be in my eyes. And be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Just like Christ forgave us, the Bible says that we have to forgive one another. And if you and I don't do this, it grieves the Holy Spirit. You know what that'll do, folks? That'll extinguish the fire that's been started.
Yep.
Give you another verse. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse number 19. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. And that word there means quench, means to extinguish a fire or things on fire. And brothers and sisters, that means this, you and I have the ability to quench, to extinguish the fire that the Holy Spirit of God has started in us. By the way, that's a present imperative of that word quench. That means the present imperative is a command, watch this now, to do something on a continuous or repeated basis. The Bible commands us to continuously not quench the Spirit.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, that fire starts welling up, and we try to suppress it.
Yep.
I mean, I was embarrassed. She already shouted. But Melissa was shouting over here a few moments ago. There was probably some folks going, what was that? You know what? That was that fire.
Yeah.
That fire is the burn on the inside. And you're trying to contain it. You're trying to hold it in. But something keeps trying to get it out. And you're trying to suppress it. And all of a sudden, it's, whoa, glory! And people go, whoa!
Come on.
You know what? When's the last time the fire of God began to burn on the inside? When the fire of God began to burn, it burns some things off of you too. It gets that draws and that ugliness and that meanness. All of a sudden, you have a tenderness and a warmthness toward other people that you did not have before. Let me ask you the question. Do we want to quench the fire? Do we want to extinguish the fire? Because a lot of these things, this one wants to hit a little bit. A lot of these things, they'll just put that fire out.
Yep.
And some people walk around. Oh, you're like, he on fire.
Yeah.
I gotta put that thing out.
Come on.
Stop that thing right away. No, get rid of that thing, man.
Yeah.
Instead, be somebody that has a match and you see somebody on fire. So, oh man, let me throw some fire. Let me put some more wood in there. Let me keep that fire going. Keep it going.
Come on.
I told you guys what happened when I was in North Carolina that one time. I was staying at my in-laws and my father-in-law was in the hospital, and so I had a job and a task. My job was to keep the fire going. But that house was heated by what we call the wood stove.
Wood burning.
Yeah. I'm from the city. I'm from Chicago, West Side. But nonetheless, we just got to put on this. But nonetheless, she said, keep that fire going. I said, okay. And while our room was down there in the basement, the fire thing was right over there.
Right.
And so I go over there all through the night. I put wood I put wood in that fire. That thing started going down, Melissa. I go there and I put some more wood. I put some more wood in the fire. Because I had a job. It was to keep the fire going. Man, we got up the next morning and everybody was upstairs. They was like, man, we about died last night. I'm like, well, boy, I got the fire going. I didn't know that you had to keep it blazing the whole time. I didn't know. I was just going out and overdoing it, man. So let me keep your fire going, okay, if you work out at night. But look who has to. I would rather be somebody that got it going than have it go out. And all of a sudden, there's a coldness. Watch it out. There's a numbness. And somebody can be praising God, but we don't feel a thing because we've grown cold and numb.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, when that fire is still burning inside of us, when we see somebody else start to get on fire, all that does is it starts to well up on the inside of us. It feeds the fire inside of us. Now, let me show you this. Watch this now. So we see how some things that extinguish the fire, but now number two, who ignites the fire? Go back with me to Leviticus. But now let's go to Leviticus chapter 9 and verse number 22. Leviticus 9, and look at verse number 22. The Bible tells us who ignited this fire that they were told to keep going. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 9, and verse number 22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from an offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offering. Watch it now, watch it now. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory, watch it, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And the Bible says, here it is, here it is. And the Bible says, and there came a fire from where? Picture a fire out from before the Lord and consumed, the Bible says, upon the altar, the burnt offering and the fat. And the Bible says, which when all the people saw, they shouted, my soul. They shouted. And then the Bible says, they fell on their faces. That word shouting here means to be overcome, to shout with joy. It means to call to sing. What happened? When they gave that offering and that sacrifice, and when God was pleased with what they gave, the Bible says that fire came from heaven and consumed. Where's the fire come from, preacher? It comes from God. God sends the fire. When there's a revival that begins to take place in our hearts, it's the God that sends that fire, that real fire, that genuine fire. But now watch it, there is a strange fire.
Yeah.
Look at the next verse in chapter 10, verse 1. And the Bible says this, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered, there it is, y'all, strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And the Bible says, and they went out, here comes some fire, and they went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange fire. That was their own fire.
Yep.
You see my preacher? We got to be careful that we don't call our own selves to be on fire. In other words, it's man-made fire. Because see, the fire came from God. He sends the fire. But if you're not careful, there'll be strange fire, manufactured fire.
Come on.
What are you talking about? Listen, there are certain things that grab a hold of our attention. There are certain things that move our emotions. Now, God gave us emotions, and God uses our emotions. But let's make sure there's God that stirs the emotion and not just the story or the situation. Because if once it's all over with, we walk out, brothers and sisters, we're the same as we were we first went in.
Right.
But when it's God's fire, you leave there, my brothers and sisters, and you're like, whoa, wasn't that something?
Come on.
Man, I was there and something happened. on the inside. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's like when I was in Galilee Baptist Church, 1989, we walked into Galilee Baptist Church, Dr. Talbot Ward was preaching the Word of God. When I left there, I got my Suzuki Sidekick, it was brand new, and I grabbed a hold of a steering wheel. I was just trembling. I was shaking. I didn't understand Holy Ghost conviction, but I knew something was going on. I said, man, what in the world's wrong with me? I came back that night, the sister pastor was preaching the same word, and the same Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of me, and before I knew it, I ran down the aisle, I hit the altar, I cried to God, and God began to change my destination.
Yeah.
What are you saying, preacher? That was real. How do you know it was real? I went back to work on Monday. I wasn't cussing and telling dirty jokes.
Mom.
If I left on Friday, I mean, if there was a battle before, where's the battle? We'll be fighting today here on the job. But all of a sudden, I went back to work on Monday, and you won't believe what happened. Miss Jane, I sat down at my workstation. And Miss Bobby, I began to work. I was doing what they paid me to do. Why? Before that, I mean, the lead person over me, she had to come talk to me about anything. She had to come say, tell me, Clement, we need to have this done. But now, I'm like, okay. She was like, folks, I look at me, and I didn't realize what was happening. But something taking place on the inside. Listen, when God does it, other folks see it, you don't really see it. You don't even realize it. And they're saying, there's something different. They're like, you lose weight. When you lose weight, somebody that seen you, they're like, you didn't lose weight. They're like, not really. Oh, yes, you have. Well, I lost 25 pounds. When I'm off that here recently, I tell you what, Jordan, look when your head gets small. That means, what are you trying to say, baby? But nonetheless, though, I mean, she knew something had happened, man. You know what? When God grabs a hold of us, other folks will know something happened. And when God sends a fire, it's real fire. So who ignites the fire? It's God. This is going to blow our minds. Maybe. The third question is this. Who keeps the fire burning? God ignites it, Brother Billy. But who keeps it burning? Now go back with me to Leviticus chapter 6 where we started. And let's look what the Bible says in verse number 8. The Bible says, now this is the same fire that God started. Look, the Bible says in verse number 8 of chapter 6 of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is a law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of a burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. He goes on to say, and verse number 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. What you saying, preacher? The ones who kept the fire going was the priest.
Yep.
God started the fire, but it was their job to keep the fire going.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, when God starts the fire, my soul, when God starts the fire on the inside of us, then we have a responsibility to keep the fire going, to keep the fire burning. Then put that wood on that fire and make sure that fire burned all night and burned all morning, because when people brought their sacrifices and their offerings, the fire was ready to go to consume the offering that they were bringing to offer unto God.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, that ain't no priest. Run with me to 1 Peter! Go with me to 1 Peter! And go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, in the Old Testament, they had priests. But the Bible says something in the New Testament that should encourage each of us. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible said this. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, ye also, he talked to these believers, Ye also, he says here, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Here we go. And holy what?
Priesthood.
Priesthood. To do what? Offer up spiritual sacrifices, the Bible says, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are a priesthood and we have to offer spiritual, and not physical, spiritual sacrifices unto God. But he ain't done.
Nope.
Drop down to verse 9. The Bible says this, but ye are a chosen, chosen generation. A royal, what?
Priesthood.
A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who, walk my soul, who have called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The Bible says here, he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we are royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Peculiar people, praising him. What do you say? We keep the
fire. Right.
Because we have a priesthood now, a priesthood of believers. So we don't have to go through a man to get to God anymore. Christ took care of that. So we can go straight to the Father. You know what it says over in Hebrews? How we come boldly unto the throne of grace. We don't have to go through any other person. You ain't got to go through nobody. You can pray to God on your own.
Yep.
Now, I'll pray for you. Others will pray for you. But you also have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
My soul. Let me ask you, are you giving those spiritual sacrifices? Are you giving those spiritual offerings unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you keeping that fire burning? Now go back with me to Leviticus. We already hit third base. We're almost at home plate. Watch this now. I'm calling him in the middle. Watch this. The Bible shows something else. The Bible says it shows about the cleanliness. Oh, Lord. The Bible says, verse 10, Leviticus 6, and the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire have consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them aside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. Ceremonially, a pure place. He was going to take these ashes and place them. What are these ashes? Where did they even come from? Oh man, we all ask this question. Go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. What happened, brothers and sisters, is that when they sinned, they brought an offering, a burnt offering unto God.
Yep.
Look what the Bible says, and Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of a herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary what?
Will.
Will. God don't make you.
Nope.
But then the Bible says, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and then shall be accepted to him for what?
Atonement.
To make atonement for him. That word atonement, that means a pardon. A purging to make reconciliation. In other words, when they bring that burnt offering, that sacrifice, and they put their hands upon it, and it was like it was almost as if it was transferring of the sins to that particular animal, and they would take that animal and they would offer it as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. We're talking about cleanliness. We're talking about confession. We're talking about getting right with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know what? If we're going to keep the fire going, then you and I, to continue to confess our sins to God.
Yeah.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, says, if, let's go look at it. I can quote it. I can quote it. I want us to look at it. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse, can you talk about voluntary? Does that talk about voluntary there? It's still voluntary. Look what the Bible says over here, 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse number 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what?
Cleanse
us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. If we acknowledge our sins. I don't know about you, but I want to keep the fire burning.
Yeah.
So every morning, when the fire burns all night, every morning, bring my confession before God. Because see, if you don't get your sins confessed, that means they stay on you. And then by sticking, you don't smell good. We were talking about this morning, how we go to camps, and how we took a group to camp, and we were talking about what happened with the camp, and the girls, they had to schedule. They had one shower, and how many girls? 20? Can y'all imagine? 20 to 25 girls. One shower. And how many minutes y'all have? Get ready. And breakfast at what time? Early. That said it all. And Miss Stephanie was over that group. Man, she had a schedule. She had so many men to get in there, all that kind of stuff, to get their shower. And y'all did it. Some of them did it. Some at night, some in the morning, all that kind of stuff. Then me and Brett called Stephanie. We didn't have that problem. Not us personally, but our boys had no problem. Some of them didn't take a shower all week. But man, you can smell that accident, man, that stuff is running all down on the room, the hallways, all kinds of stuff. They said, we don't need no shower. You know, or they said, we going to the woods, like the river, the pool, or whatever. And boys will be boys, you know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, amen, they weren't worried about it. But that's why no girls didn't like you that week. But they are, listen. Because a girl can smell if you stink it. You stink it, amen. You're like, oh, not mine. I feel good. But you know what? That's how we are sometimes, too. We say, well, you know what? I didn't came to God 155th time. I'm not gonna ask God to forgive me for this sin. Because you know what? I might go back out and do it again. Say, I'm in the wall. So now it stays on.
Yeah.
And it piles up. That's equivalent to saying this. This is our boys' thing, by the way. Why take a shower? I'm going to get dirty in the day anyway. Why should I take a bath? You know, I'm going outside to play. I'm going to take a bath and go out and play. That don't make any sense, Mama. No, it does make sense because it's going to start piling up. And then you have a lot of other issues. Okay, I'm just saying. But Mama, listen. It's the same thing with us. If we don't come before God and get clean, it's piling up. Because those who said, Now, this is John talking to believers. John says, we're talking this about salvation. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Some reason why some great Christians think it, because they ain't been talking to the Father.
Yeah.
Listen, let's keep the fire burning. Watch this. The Bible shows us something else. Look at Romans chapter. Go back to Leviticus. I'm just about to touch home plate. My foot just about to touch on the tip of it. Look what he says over here back in Leviticus chapter 1. And go to verse number 9. Oh, I like this verse. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice. An offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. A sweet scent unto the Lord. But Moses says here, burn all on the altar. The whole thing was to be consumed on the altar. We should not preach. Our whole self needs to be laid on the altar.
That's right.
All of you. Preacher, can you give me a verse? Yes. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans, you know what I'm going? Romans chapter 12. And look at verse number 1. Romans 12 and look at verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. Romans 12 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. Paul says to the church, I beseech you, come on Paul, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what?
Bodies.
The whole thing. Your body's a living sacrifice. Not dead. A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God. Which is a reasonable service. Give him your ear. Give him your eyes. Give him your mouth. That's the giving, Lord. See, when we give him our ears, this will help y'all. That means I'm going to listen to things I should listen to and not listen to things I should not listen to.
Come on.
That means my ears, when I hear gospel coming, listen to heaven, then my ears automatically, my ears are really little, but my ears automatically. And it close up. But some people, when they hear gospel, they go, they try to tune in. Wait, whoa, I picked something up. Whoa, we don't hear. No, close your ears. My eyes. That means I'm looking at things that are victorious. I'm not looking at things that's going to hinder me and pull me into a direction I need not go into. My mouth is going to say things it should say and not say things that it shouldn't. I say, he's just words. Oh, words will tell you up.
Amen. Yep.
Some of us heard something said to us when we were little that still affects us today.
That's right.
And because of what was said, it's hard to erase it from the mind.
Yep.
Listen, let's not be guilty of that either. Let's not say things that tear out. Instead, Bible says, say things that edify, that build up. But your feet, they give me your feet. When you give me your feet, that means you're not going to walk in the places you shouldn't walk into. You say, oh, no, let me go back this way. That's the wrong way to go. But now some people say, I can't help my feet. Oh, yes, you can. You can help your feet, okay? But listen, when you give them all of yourself, just think about your hands, what you touch. All these things. And the next time the enemy tries to say, it's okay. Oh man, grab that little joint. It ain't gonna hurt nothing. It's legal. Listen, it might be legal in some parts of the United States, but it ain't legal for me.
Yep.
Oh, what's up here? Take your drink. I'm gonna hit something here. Don't say out real loud. Take your drink. It's looking calm the nerves. Well, if that's the case, get the baby something to drink. Listen. The baby's crying. Yeah, baby, no. You don't do that. The Bible says this. Cast all your care upon him. Because he cares for you.
Yeah.
He takes with the anxiety and the worry. The Bible says over there in Matthew 11 verse 28. Says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy burden, and I will give you rest. That word rest means refreshing. Oh, what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. God has a remedy for all these things. The enemy tells us it's okay. But when you give your body as a living sacrifice, not something that's dead, but something that's alive, that's what God wants. Watch this. Oh, he ain't done yet? Oh, my. So we see who keeps the fire burning. But now let's quickly hit how. I already touched on this already. How do we keep the fire burning? We talk about how to extinguish the fire. We talk about who ignites the fire. We talk about who keeps the fire burning. And this is how we keep the fire burning. Number one, I already mentioned already. Continually confessing our sins to God. Continually confessing our sins to God. 1 John 1 verse 9. But the second is this. Pray daily.
Yeah.
The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing.
Right.
Pray. That word without ceasing means don't omit it. Number three is this. Meditate on God's word. Look what the Bible says. Hold your place here. Well, I know we're there now. But yeah. Go over to the Psalms. Go to Psalms 1. Go to Psalm 1. And look down, you know the verse. But go to Psalm 1. I'm going to show you this. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 1 and look at verse number 2. Psalm 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says this. But his delight, who are we talking about? Verse 1 says, the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. That word meditate means to ponder. That word law means his direction, his instructions. We need to be in God's word daily. Meditate on it. Listen, I'm getting used to the route to get here to the church. Okay, we're 10 minutes from the church for now. I think it's about 18 minutes or so. But this is what I do. Now, I know how to get here. But I use my GPS. Why do you use GPS? Because There's something out there called 8094. Okay? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes it's red. And when I put in my GPS, it'll tell me sometimes if I go this way, it's a lot quicker. Or if I go that way, it's a lot quicker. So I know how to get here, but I want to make sure that I get here quickly and not on the, I don't want to take a long journey. I want to go to safari. Okay? So I look at my GPS, and I look at the instructions, and then I begin to calculate. I said, well, this one says I get four minutes quicker. This one right here says 4 minutes slower. This one here says don't go that way. Amen. So what I do is I meditate on it, and then I decide which route I'm going to take. Well, you know what? We have to grab a hold of God's Word. And when you grab a hold of God's Word, meditate on God's Word. Read God's Word on a daily basis. Don't just read it for Sunday morning worship. No. You read it on Monday? You know you need it on Monday? Listen, if you get it on Monday, what's going to happen? You get to work and you're going to hurt somebody. You walk in the door and they're like, hey, you didn't do this on Friday. You like, I'll tell you why. No. But if you've been meditating on this, you're walking in there, and they be jumping on you, and they be coming at you, like, you're fooling the job, amen. They're like, what's wrong with them? Listen. But when you take that word inside of you, that helps keep the fire going. But not only that, watch this. Go with me over to Romans 12:11. This might hurt a little bit, but it's going to be good. Serve the Lord. Watch what the Bible says in Romans, chapter number 12 and verse number 11. Romans 12 and look at verse number 11. Romans 12 and look at verse number 11. I'm sorry, I passed home thing. I can't come back and touch it. But it says in Romans, chapter number 12 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. Romans 12, verse number 11. The Bible says, watch it. Not slothful in business. Well, I preacher, why don't you hit on that? That means to be tardy. Anyway, fervent in spirit. That means to be hot. Doing what? Serving the Lord. Let me ask us the question. How was our service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There's something about serving the Lord. When Miss Bonnie and Bonnie Ann, when I see them down here at the church and they're cleaning up, you know what they're doing? They're not doing this. Not over the city over here. Man, they just be cleaning. Y'all pretend y'all doing a great job. But look like they haven't doing it. You know? I mean, because you know how we can get, man. I mean, listen. I've been pastor for 25 years, okay? I didn't see the church many times. And I'd be like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me on this one. Here I go. I'm going in. Oh, come on. Now, who's eating over here? Come on. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, come on. We know how to move over. Oh, I know who's sitting over here. I'm going to put your mask on. No. But they do it. Serve the Lord. When you go to your job, preach to them folks like heathens. I mean, them folks, you just don't understand. I know, but they need a light. They need somebody to be a light. You can be that light on your job. Well, I want another job. I'll be a light over there. Listen. The same folks will be over there with a different name.
Yep.
Okay? Same folks, a different name. Okay? And when you first walk in the job, y'all know how we do. We come and say, whoa, I got a new job. It's awesome. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know? And then 3 weeks later, I pray, Lord, get me out of that job. That ain't the Lord's will. That ain't the Lord's will. But you know what? When we're working and serving the Lord, it makes a big difference. Here's the last thing. Fellowship with other believers. This keeps the fire going. Because you know what? You ain't talking about, what Johnson did, what the Sam did, who all this. Because you're going to be encouraging one another. Let me show you. Look what the Bible says on the Acts, chapter number 2. Acts 2, and look at verse 46. Acts 2, and look at verse number 46. Look what the Bible says. Acts 2, verse number 46. You can read the whole chapter. There's all that good stuff in it. But look what it says in Acts 2, and verse 46. The Bible says, and they continuing daily. Oh. Some of y'all remember this word. We did this a couple weeks ago. They continuing daily with one accord. That means one mind, with one passion, in where the temple. And the Bible says, breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They fellowship. They broke bread. This past Sunday, for homecoming, we broke bread in fellowship. This coming Tuesday, after the service, we're going to break bread. We're going to fellowship. We pray that our words and our conversation will be encouraging. It'll be uplifting. Because if it's that, it'll keep the fire burning. But if it's something else, it'll snuff out the fire. Listen, I preach a lot of revivals and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'll be in a revival meeting, but after a revival, I'm praising God. We sit down, get to talking, all of a sudden, the conversation goes into a different direction. I'm like, man, we just got the solid money and flipping it and all that. I don't want to be in that kind of conversation. I want to be in that area. Where I want to be at is not you can't change the conversation. Next time somebody comes, you say, let me tell you about so-and-so. So you say, what? Let's pray. Oh God, oh help so and so, help us. Help us not to be the type of people that will become. I tell you what, one, two things will happen. They're going to stop. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, we have a God that wants us to fellowship, but the fellowship should be encouraging, it should be uplifting, it should be keeping the fire burning on the inside. Listen, I know I'm not that old. But I'm 55, so I'm older than I was last year, okay? I'm 55 years old. I've been on this earth since 1965. I was born in Selma, Alabama, August 23rd, 1965. I've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And you know what? The next 25 years, God give me that, the next 25 years, I'll be 80 years old. And you know what? I want the next 25 to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be walking around with the mother grubs. I don't want to be walking around with a downcast spirit. You say, preacher, do you ever get discouraged? Sure. But you know what? I ain't got to stay that way. I ain't got to stay that way. He said, I want to stay down here. I'm like, what happened right there, brother? Nonetheless, what do you say? Let's keep the fire going. Let's keep the fire burning. And let's not walk around being a person that extinguishes everybody else's fire. Oh, girl, you're too hot. You know, I mean, y'all too on fire. There's a fire over here going. No, don't do that. Don't do that. No, instead, go around igniting fires. Giving the word of God. Encouraging one another. I got one question we're done. One question we're done. But let's go back first. We'll read that one verse in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible says the fire should ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Here's my question. Is the fire still burning? Is the fire still burning? If the fire is not still burning, let's ask God to send the fire so we can burn. If the fire is still burning, but it's getting a little bit low, it's just flickering. Say, oh God, I don't want my fire to go out. Lord, ignite it. God ignited it for you. We don't have to walk around defeated, because we're the King's kids. Why don't we cry to Him this morning? Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I've tried my best to think about the word of God you gave it to me. And perhaps God is somebody here today that says, no, I found my fire starting to go out just a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. I pray God to come talk to you about that this morning. Perhaps God is somebody to say, no, my fire has not been ignited yet. I mean, the wood's there and things of that nature, but the fire hasn't come yet. I pray God they come and say, Lord, send the fire. Perhaps God has always become for all the reason. Have nothing to do with the message. Maybe they want to pray for someone that's in a tough spot, a tight place, and they just need some help from the Lord. And they want to be that person that intercedes for them. I pray God they come and talk to you. Father, there may be other reasons that I've not mentioned. But God, whatever you're saying to do, I pray God we simply respond. Because you're God who responds to our response. And for that, God, we'll thank you. that help somebody. So there's one among us who not sure of their salvation. I pray that they come, let me know, and we will show them so they can know how to trust Jesus as their Savior. God, we beg you right now. And Lord, if I left anything out, please, sir, meet that need as well. We love you and we thank you. Listen, your son's name we do pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen.